Hallelujah. Thank you, God, for your presence. Thank you for your holiness. Thank you, God, that on this rainy, dreary, misery day, it is bright and sunshiny and full of your presence inside. Thank you, Holy Ghost, for your presence. Thank you, God, for your convicting power, God. Thank you for your anointing, God. Thank you for all that you've done for us, your provision, God, and your healing, and your grace, and your mercy, and your forgiveness, oh God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. There's a special presence of the Lord to hear today. Does anybody else feel that besides me?
Yeah.
Hallelujah. 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 Today I want to talk to you about clean up inside. Clean up inside. We clean up on the outside, but are we clean on the inside? Matter of fact, Paul quotes, I don't have the scripture, but Paul says, you're like whitewashed tombs. You're bleached on the outside. You look so clean and white and pearly. But on the inside of that tomb, there's dirt and death and disgust. And we got to be careful that we don't get that way as Christians. That we don't appear to be holy and walking in holiness, but privately we're not. I mean, today, you know, you could really quickly with a phone, you could make a text across the universe, across the world, rather not the universe. You know, you could talk to somebody. I talked to Don Weber, our missionary to Africa in Kenya. I talked to him by text a lot of times, or by phone, just by phone call. You can send a tweet somewhere. You can find directions on your phone. I can open and unlock my door at my home right from here on my phone. You know, I can cut the alarm off here at the church the same way. The greatest thing that you can do with your phone is you can do selfies, right? Right? But the thing is that a lot of times most of the time, whenever people do them selfies, most of the time, that's not really truly who they are. If you look behind all the pictures at Easter, when everybody had them big, beautiful family pictures, go to that same group of people and say, what happened 3 minutes before y'all took that picture? They'd be like, they were fussing and cussing and raising all kinds of sin, and Uncle Joe and Aunt Sally. I mean, you know, because the thing is there's a part of our life that we don't want the world to see. There's a part of our life that we try to hide from God like idiots. Like we really could hide something from God. I mean, He sees everything. He knows everything. And we look at ourselves and we look at that picture. And now it's not just trying to make a good picture. Now they got all these kind of filters that can make you look ginger and make you look, have red hair. It can make put makeup on you. It can make me have hair. You know, it's kind of cool. You know, there's all kind of different filters. And we do things and try to our best to perceive and look to other people. You know, Photoshop and make us look skinnier and not so round, right? You know, we do that a lot, and we're doing that on purpose, trying our best to make ourselves feel good about our weakness. Rather than working on what we're weak in, working on our sin, working on where we fall short, we're just trying to appear to everybody else that we're all together and everything's okay. You know, maybe it's something in your lifestyle that isn't what really God wants. Maybe it's not sin, you know, so much. That you need to give up necessarily. Maybe it's just something else that you just need to draw closer to God and you're just distant from God and God's calling you closer. You know, maybe it's something that you struggled with for years and you don't want it to end up wrecking your life and you've got a hold on it. Matter of fact, maybe it's something that is something that you've been dealing with for a long time and you've got it under control. But you and I both know that at any point in time, it can get out of control real quick. Amen. You know, maybe you're tired of living out of control. You know, maybe you're tired of feeling weak. Maybe you're tired of letting anger control you. Maybe you're tired of holding that thing against someone that is destroying you and they're enjoying their life and not even worrying about you. Maybe it's time to get serious about making the change that you've been putting off for too long. We have become masters at deceiving other people and actually a master of deceiving ourselves as well. And like I said, we try to deceive God. And it sounds something like this right here, that you know what? You know, I know I'm not perfect, but I'm better than them. I know I'm not perfect. Hey, but at least I'm not doing that. I'm not caught up in this. At least I'm not like that church member. At least I'm not like that person. At least I don't do that. You know. Hey, things will change, but my family. It's my family's fault. You know, I don't need to change. My circumstances need to change. I don't need to change. You know, if it wasn't for my past, I'd be okay. If these are just the cards that I've been dealt, and I just got to deal the cards I've been. I got to play the cards I'm dealt. You know, you're not really. If you're not daily admitting every day, my life is a hot mess, and I can't make it without Jesus' love, mercy, and grace, then you're just trying to deceive yourself to make you think that you have more power in your life than you do. I don't care how long you've been a Christian. Even Mr. Loris, you know, she's probably been a Christian longer than most of us in this room. But every day, she needs to go before the throne and say, God, I need your help. Every day, she needs to do that. Every day, we need to do that. You never get out of that. And you've heard the adage, it's okay to not be okay. And a lot of people use that as a crutch. It's okay not to be okay. Okay, yes, it's okay not to be that way. But it's not okay to stay that way. You've got to do something to get out of that. Yes, it's okay that you got this going on. It's okay that this is happening. But just don't stay that way. What are you doing to get out of that rut? What are you doing to get out of that ditch? What are you doing to get out of that mundane, everyday-to-day thing that can change you? Hebrews chapter 3, verses 12 and 13 says, be careful then, dear brothers and sisters. Make sure that your own hearts are not evil and unbelieving, turning you away from the living God. See, it says, look at it. It says, make sure that your own hearts. It didn't say nothing about the devil there. Right? It says, we're pulled away by our own lust, right? So sometimes it's our own lust, it's our own hearts, it's our own deception, turning you away from your living God. You must warn, here's something that nobody pays attention to. You must warn each other every day while it is still today, so that none of you will be deceived by sin and hardened against God. That right there is the first thing of accountability. That right there tells you that you and God, yeah, I told God, God knows, but you know what? We all also need to share our faults with one another so we may be healed and free. We need to find that person. We need to find that small group. We need to find that confidant that I can say, hey, I'm struggling with this. Because you know what? God can convict you, but you can ignore that conviction. But you need somebody else to say, hey, Bruce, how's it going with that situation? Hey, you know, Gina, hey, you mentioned the other day that you were struggling with this. How's that going right now? You need that. Because we can ignore God, but that friend, that best friend is going to keep coming after us, right? Well, God's going to come after us constantly too, but you know what I mean. You need that accountability. You need that. That scripture says it. It says we must warn each other every day. You got to have that person. You know, and you got to have that person that you trust. You got to have that confidant. You got to have that group, that cadre of people that are really close to you that you really can open up yourselves to. And that's hard to find. Isn't it? It says so you won't be deceived by sin. And also so your heart won't harden. That means what a critical warning. Make sure that your own hearts are not evil, unbelieving, turning away from the living God. Does that sound familiar? You're faced with something that you know that is evil and that's wrong, and you have this, your conscience bothers you, and all of a sudden you have convicting power of the Holy Spirit, and it's beautiful because you're like, hey, I'm faced with this situation, and the Holy Spirit convicts you in your spirit, and you're like, this ain't right. I shouldn't do this. I feel the convicting power of the Holy Spirit. And that's what He's for. Holy Spirit is not, and we're talking, it's coming up on Pentecost before too long. We'll have a whole service about Holy Spirit explaining that. But the thing is, He's not just for convicting you from sin. He's not just a one-trick pony. He does a whole lot more. He wants to bring conviction on you when you're getting ready to make a bad decision. Whenever you're getting ready to have a bad, when you have a bad attitude. We only look to God to convict us on these big sins. But our day-to-day life, we need to stay in tune with God and stay in step with the Holy Spirit and allow Him to convict us of our attitude and our thoughts and our different things in our lives. So either when you get to that place, either you are wrong and you place yourself under His submission of His mercy and say, that's right, God, forgive me, I'm sorry. Or you think you know better than Him is, no, I'm not. That's not a sin. I know you're God, but that's not a sin. I'm not doing wrong. I'm doing right. And regardless of your conviction, I'm going to do what I want to do. Okay, then you're walking in rebellion and witchcraft, right? You're trying to control things. You're walking in rebellion against God. You know, and we got to understand that. And we do that all the time. We do that all the time. We have that convicting power of the Holy Spirit. And we're like, just mind your business, God, right? Today. Today's not Sunday, right? That's unbelief. We don't believe that we're wrong. And we believe we know better than God Himself. We believe that Holy Spirit's wrong. We believe that the Holy Ghost is wrong. Hey, now you got it wrong. Don't convict me, you know, because I know I'm doing my best. I'm doing the best I can, right? Why are you convicting me? I didn't do nothing wrong. Convicting is like I said, just not for sin. It's for all parts of our life. And when you're walking in the Spirit, you'll realize the Holy Spirit convicts you a whole lot more whenever you ask Him to, hey, God, guard my heart. Guard my heart. Help me as I'm going through the day. Not just if I'm sinning or not. You know, hopefully today I won't walk in sin all day long. But you know, if I have a bad attitude, if I have a bad decision, if I'm getting ready to say something I should, just convict me for it. You know, because then if not, then we will walk into that sin, and that will grab a hold of our heart, and it will be like a cancer to us, and it will grow. Paul warns us that this path leads us from God, and the result is a hardened heart. What once bothered us doesn't bother us no more. Do you know that you can get a hardened heart and the Holy Spirit can convict you, and you can reject the Holy Spirit so much that all of a sudden that you don't even feel Him, His conviction anymore? That's when you get a hardened heart. You've rejected Him so much that your heart is hardened. You could be a good Christian, or you could be a Christian and still allow things to hold you back. Because the thing is whenever we allow things to come in, what we're doing, we say, no, God, I know this. I know you think this is wrong, but I got this. This is not that bad. This is not a big deal. We have Holy Spirit has set boundaries around us. We have set spiritual boundaries around us. And what happens is, we allow those things outside of boundaries that should be outside of our life, inside the boundaries, to run free and reign, and then they hatch little babies, right? It's, you know, and then if you read Leviticus, this begot that, you know, that's what happens. You let that one thing inside that fence, and that begot something else, and a bitterness begots a lie, and a lie begots unforgiveness, and that has an attitude, and then it just goes on and on and on. And all of a sudden, it doesn't matter to you no more. And all of a sudden, you don't feel His conviction no more. We are no longer tender, responsive to the Holy Spirit. You know, and you're like, well, what are you talking about? Well, your heart is, your spirit is like a sponge. And I could have done an illustration up here that if you have a sponge and you pour water on that sponge, what does that sponge do? It soaks it up. Okay, that's what we're supposed to do with the water of the Word. That's what we're supposed to do with the Holy Spirit. Whenever He's talking to us, when He's ministering to us, when it's praying, we're supposed to soak it up. But after a while, when you keep rejecting that, our spirit, our soul needs that water to survive. Amen. And when we don't have that water anymore, it dries up and it turns into it. You ever had soft scrubby pads, scrubby buddies or whatever? You know, when you put water in, you see how soft it gets? But have you ever left one there after you had it wet for 3 or 4 days and all of a sudden it's like a brick, you know? Well, that's what happens, you know, and it gets, and our spirit becomes like a rock. And then all of a sudden the Lord tries to pour the water of the Word, or He tries to pour His presence, and it just rolls off of that rock because we've become hardened to it, and we don't want it, and we reject it, and it comes off of us. And that's not the way we should have it. It gets real sometimes like that. And it's time for us to be real and say, it's time to come clean. It's time to get rid of, I've gotten rid of all the big things in my life. You know, when you go in and cleaning up a kid's room, you tell the kid to clean up their room, they pick up all the big toys and put them up. And then there's a whole bunch of little Legos that are the devil walking still around, right? You know, whenever you're moving, you got these big strong men, hey, we'll get it done in no time. And they get all the big furniture out in an hour or two, and then you got the rest of the house that takes you like a week to get out. Because all this little tiny stuff, right? That's what I'm talking about today. We as a church, we still may have some sinners here today, and I'm praying that you turn your heart to God, or somebody who has turned away from God. But overall, we've been moving towards a place where we got the big rocks out of our way, but there's a lot of little tiny things that we need to deal with. You know? You know, it's like whenever you have a kidney stone and they go in there and blow it up. It's a big rock, right? They blow it up and it's a whole bunch of little pieces. Then you still got to get rid of the little pieces. You still got to pass those, right? So it's time to come clean. So you say that to yourself. It's time to come clean. You know, Jesus says, hey, he says that he will. He says, I'll cleanse you. You know, 1 John says that if you confess your sins, he is faithful and just to cleanse us from all unrighteousness, right? And he'll forgive us for our sins. So I got a shorter message today, but I got about three questions for us to talk about real fast. So if you want to come clean, you want to clean those insides. Number one, what needs to be fixed? You know, I'm not doing big things. I'm not doing bad things. We don't know. I'm not addicted. I'm not having all that. I'm not having premarital sex. I'm not doing this and that and the other. You know, what is it? Well, quit looking out in the big area and go to the closet. That's where you're hiding stuff at. The closet. Go in there and pick up the smaller things. Ask God. Ask Holy Spirit. Say, God, convict me of the smaller things. What is it? Yo, my go-to scripture. Y'all know what I want to say. You know, Psalms 139, the last verses. You know, search me, O Lord, know my heart. Try me and see my every thought. See if there's any wicked way in me and lead me to the way everlasting. Search me, Lord. Show me. God, is there anything in my life? You know, because I've convinced myself that I'm on a good path, that I'm doing great. So, Holy Spirit, convict me of things in my life that maybe are I need to stay away from. Maybe you need to stay away from some things that are not sins, but are just not good for your mental, you know, your mental walk. Maybe you need to, they're not sins, but it's not good for your marriage. Maybe it's not sin, but it's not good for your walk with God. Maybe it's not sin, but it's just not good for you, right? Because what does Paul say? All things are permissible, but all things are not profitable. Just because the world says it's okay, just because other Christians are doing it, don't mean that you need to do it. To much is given, much is required. There's a lot of things that I don't do as pastor because I know I'm held to a higher accountability. So there's things that I don't do that I probably could do, but I don't because I want to protect my spirit. I want to protect my anointing. There's some things that you need to quit doing just to protect your anointing because it opens yourself up. You open yourself up to the enemy in a lot of ways. You know, it's like I have my Dunkin' Donuts mug. I go every morning and I say, hey, they say, hey, do you want this? I'm like, no, thank you. They're like, hey, Doug. And so I give them my coffee, my refill cup. And after a while at the very bottom, you know, I rinse it out every day. But still at the bottom, that coffee gets into the grains of it. And after a while, you got to get a scrubby buddy or some kind of scraper and scrape that darkness out of there because that coffee ground gets in, the color gets into the inside. And yeah, I go to church every week. I pray every week. You know, you're watering it, but sometimes you need to get down there and scrub and say, God, I need you to scrub me today. What is it, God? I'm clean. I'm a Christian. I'm on my way to heaven, but I want to get as close to you as I can. And I want to get closer. What is keeping me from getting closer? What is that thing, God? What is it that is bothering me? What is it? Is it my attitude, my thoughts, my doubts, my unforgiveness, my fears, my thought process? What is it? What is it in me? Why? Why am I acting the way I do? Why do I feel? Why do I feel like I'm hitting a door when I'm coming to you? There's got to be something that's stopping me from total surrender and being all in. We need to, you know, you don't know what it is. You know, I go to Browning's Tire and Auto. Daniel is there and he does a great job. And if you need a mechanic, is a small mechanic shop. He does a great job. He's very honorable and got great prices. Is Browning Tire and Auto. But I'll go sometimes, I'm like, I don't know what's wrong with it, man. It's just, it's making this ka-ka-ka-ka noise. And he's like, ka-ka-ka-ka. I was like, yep, that's what I'm doing. He's like, okay. He said, we'll see if we can find out what that ka-ka-ka is. You know, so, and he does. And he'll come back, he'll diagnose, hey, Doug, that was this cylinder. That was this right here. Your tires is out of alignment, whatever it may be. And then he'll fix it. You know, many of you, maybe you haven't done that, but maybe you've been to the doctor and say, I hurt. I don't know why. I got my knees hurt. And I ain't done nothing. You know, you go to a chiropractor, man, why does it hurt? It hurts right here. I don't know what I've done. Right. And they say, oh, okay. Crack, 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 crack. Right. It's the same noise. What in the world? And they fix it. And then you're able to, you feel better. You know, and we need to go to God and lay on the operating table and say, God, just open me up, cut me open, fix what you need to fix. You ain't even got to tell me what it is. I'll know anyway. And then you just start beginning to walk. Say, God, fix it. What is that? What is that thing in me? What is it? What is in me I don't need? Take the spleen out. God, I don't need that thing. You know, to whatever's in me, the spiritual spleen. Right? So the chances are is that you're doing good. You're just out of alignment. Okay? And you're out of alignment and you got this one little thing. And does anybody know anything about military ships? You can be 1 degree off and by tomorrow you'll be heading in a whole different direction. You ever took your car riding down the road after it's been aligned? You can let loosely of the steering wheel, and it'll, as long as you're on a straight road, it'll go straight. But then sometimes you let it off. Sometimes I'll check it, and it'll just real slow start going this way, right? Right? And then if it's really out of line, it'll be like, whoa. You're like, oh, God. Okay. And when you see that, you look at your tires, you'll see all the outside of your tires is the inside is nice and fresh. The outside is all worn down. Because even though one side is good, that one little thing that's wrong with it, a little bit out of alignment, will wear out the inside, and what will eventually happen? It'll eventually what? Pop. You'll eventually have a flat tire. So those little things in your life, they're not a big deal, they're just small things, but eventually those little small things will get you out of alignment. You know, and those small things, Scripture says that the small foxes that spoil the vine. You ever had a small pebble in your foot? Not in your foot, but hopefully not. But in your shoe, I mean, it drives you crazy, right? Little itty-bitty paper cut. It's those small things that's really going to hurt you in the end. There's a lot of people that's not going to go to heaven. It's not going to be for all these big addictions. It's probably just going to be for unforgiveness. It's probably just going to be for an uncontrite mind, not having the mind of Christ, right? And we got to understand that. And then sometimes we try to compensate on one thing to let another thing go. So when we're doing wrong, we'll pray more. We'll read our Bible more. We'll fast more because we know this over here is bad and we haven't changed that. It's just like outside the little hand sanitizer right in the hallway. It's battery operated. It needs 4C batteries. I only had 3, so guess what I did? I put 3 in there and let the 3 be strong enough to help the 4th one, right? And it worked. Until I can get another one. But that's what we do. We try to compensate. We try to do more things over here spiritually to make up for our lack over here. And it helps for a little while. But eventually, that one is going to what? Drain every one of them other 3. Man, praise God. So is there a sin you need to deal with, or is it something small? Is it your lack of prayer, your lack of meditating on God and reading the Word? Is it bitterness? Is it unforgiveness? What is it? Is it just neglecting God? Is it neglecting church? Is it neglecting His people? Is it not trusting Him? Is it gossip? What's causing you to struggle? Is there holes in your character? Is it a character issue? Is it something? Is something in your marriage that's unresolved issues with your marriage is causing your marriage to go bad and causing you to think different things and act different ways? 1 Peter 2:1 says, "Therefore, rid yourselves of all malice and all deceit, hypocrisy, envy, and slander of every kind." When we are like whitewashed tombs on the outside, you know, but on the inside we're dirty and filthy. We are hypocrites, and it goes on, and that's what he calls them. There's several scriptures in the Bible that says, you know, you hypocrites, you brood of vipers. He's like, man, y'all are evil, man. So I need to ask for help. How can I can't do this on my own. So I've got to find a neighbor. I got to find a brother. I got to find a sister. That of course, first off, go to God first. Talk to God. And then so you won't ignore His counsel, talk to that neighbor. Tell him. And then your neighbor, the first thing your neighbor should say was, what has God told you about this? What has God said? Let's go to the Word and see what God's Word says about this. And then you got to find somebody, which is so hard these days, somebody that you can open up to that won't judge you and look at you kind of sideways because I know what you're doing. Because relationships don't last long anymore. And then you told somebody everything and then all of a sudden, you know, you break up with them and relationship-wise and now they got all this dirt on you, right? But there's always somebody in your life. Maybe it's a spiritual father, spiritual mother, a leader in the church, maybe even me. You know, somebody that you know that is going to hold it close to their chest. You know, and so you said, I've tried it on my own and it hadn't worked. And that's the problem. You tried it on your own. You tried doing it on your own, but we can't do that. We cannot allow the enemy to try to make us think that we're strong enough in our own selves to handle it. You know, whenever when your child is trying to get their independence, and a lot of times you're trying to help them do something. Oh, I got it, Dad. I got it, Mom. You know, and that's a good thing for them to be independent. But when it comes to us, to God, we don't never need to say, I got it, Dad. I got it. Right? Because there's, you know, it's like the like I mentioned a while ago in my Yeti, that residue at the bottom of the cup, that gunk that gets down, you know, in your car, in your oil, it gets gunky, and you gotta do the Roto-Rooter thing to clean it out, right? Paul goes on to say in Hebrews 3:13, you must warn each other every day while it's still today that none of you will be deceived by sin and hardened against God. None of us are wired to do this Christian life alone. Nobody is wired to be the Christian without anybody else's help. We got to have God's help first off. And that's what we all talk about. You got to have God. But here's the thing. Yeah, I depend on God. I depend on God. But then we reject God and then we're all alone. I'm telling you that third person in this relationship is very, very important. So, you know, because if not, we're not safe when we're living independent and alone. We are in isolation. We isolate ourselves from God and nobody knows but us. No, you don't have anybody else that can hold you accountable and you are isolated. You know, you say, hey, mind your business. Well, we need to look at people and say, hey, will you mind my business? Will you mind my business? You know, Richard and Ben, if you see me talk to my wife in a way I shouldn't, can you call me out on it? Hey, if you see me at Bruce, if you see me, you know, out in town and I got an attitude towards the waitress, you know, can you call me out on it? Can you help me? Hey, if you see me getting really frustrated, Jenny, and I'm in the church, and you see me really frustrated with somebody, someone said, you need to, there's people. I'm not telling y'all to do that. You know, I'm just saying, I got my own people. Because I ain't just telling them, everybody come tell the pastor what he's doing wrong. I'll be in my office all day long with y'all trying to tell me, right? I got my own people, but y'all got to get y'all people. But I'll be one of your people. I'll help you. But it happens in the context of relationships. It's so important. That's why we have small groups. The second and fourth Monday of every month is women's ministry. The women's group, the ladies KII groups. We have that the second and the fourth. Matter of fact, tomorrow's the fourth, but we're having our Passover prayer. So y'all all come here. That'll be our small group. But also the men and everybody else comes as well. We want everybody to come. So we have that. So not only on Sundays, but then the second and fourth Mondays every month, you can sit down and talk with women. Maybe it's a whole group you fall in love with. Maybe it's one or two people in that group that you can find. The first and third on Thursdays of every month, the men meet. And the men get out here at 6:30 and they have a good time and they've been really growing and they've really been doing good and having some good discipleship time. I think it's the first and third Sunday nights young adults meet out here. That's one of our strongest groups, man. They have a lot of people show up and there's a lot of good fruit coming out of that. You know, so we have all these small groups that are going on and we need you to be a part of them. That's going to help you be accountable in a place, in a safe place where you can say, hey, I need this. You know, I met with the greeters out there in the green room, and I told them, I said, listen, this is a very sacred place, and you're going to have people. You ain't going to ask for it, but people's going to come up here and just tell you their issues and their problems. And that's confidential. You are in a place where they're looking at you, and they're just saying, hey, I'm going through a hard day, and this is happening, and y'all got to keep that quiet. Y'all can't go run. Hey, did you hear? So-and-so during service, so-and-so came. No, that's got to be private. That's got to be confidential. And then, you know, and then point them, hey, you need to go into the service. Going into the service. You know, and then after service, the kids are back there right now having service. That's their service. And you know, so whenever y'all go back, sometimes they're running a little later. I'm a little early or whatever. Parents, you go back there, please wait until they open the door for you. Because if we just go in there and say, hey, where's little Jimmy? That's just like somebody busting in here saying, hey, Pastor, I need to talk to you in a minute. This is our holy service. This is a holy time. That's their holy time. Let's give them that. When they see us, it's over. They're going to wrap it up as soon as possible. But you know what? Your child may be getting ready to receive Christ. But when you go in there and take them, they may not. That's their service. That's their church service. Some of you are trying to live in that isolation, and that's exactly what the enemy wants. Just like a lion. What the lion do? He waits till one of the prey gets away from the pack, and then he pounces. And that's what the enemy wants you to do. To stray away from the pack a little bit. Get back a little bit. You know, we sing that song, I'm going to wait on you, like we're waiting on God. I think, I heard this the other day, somebody said this on, I forget what, I was listening to a podcast, I think in the basement or something, but they said, you ever thought that maybe God singing that song to us? I'm going to wait on you until you do what you're supposed to do. And we down here singing, I'm waiting on you. He's like, I'm waiting on you. You got to do the right thing, right? Come on now. I was like, golly. I mean, that just hit me. I was like, okay, God, what are you waiting on me to do? And that's what, so we need to ask God, God, what are you waiting on? What are you waiting on me to do so you can do what you need to do? Ah, praise God. There's so many benefits to community. That's why I try so hard. And like I said, I'm all the time saying, I know we have people out of town and people who can't come to church, but we have a lot of people who just stay at home. There's a lot of people in the community. There's a lot of these chairs. Man, we in revival. You know why I know we're in revival? Because it was pouring down cats and dogs and this many people still in church. Boy, when I first started, if it sprinkled, man, there's like four people in this house. Moving on, but God's doing something. God's moving. And see, when God moves like this, you know God's moving. There's been miracles. Y'all know about my miracle. How God performed my miracle. The doctor's like, I never say this, but this is a miracle. You know, and you know about the girl that had needed the kidney and got the kidney. That miracle. Danny told me the other day, somebody that we've been praying for, one of his friends, or I guess the doctor went in and opened him up and said, you know what? Even before we got inside, we feel like stuff was already gone. You know, Cynthia had all kind of heart problems. She was going to the doctor. They were giving her all kind of stress tests, all this kind of stuff. They were freaking her out, and they were talking to her in code, like kind of let her know this is, may not be good. And then she went back for her final test, and they're like, "Hey, you're fine. We'll change a couple of medicines, and everything's gonna be good." Just boom, just like that, out of nowhere. And she was really saying, she's a pastor. I'm really not expecting to have good news because of what they're saying. It seems like there's something wrong. You know, may have to have surgery. And then they're like, nope, just change the medicine. It's all good. I don't know why, but it's good. Mike, if you come up, please. James 5:16. Therefore, confess your sins to one another and pray for each other that you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous man or woman, a person, availeth much, in King James says, but it's powerful and effective. Praise God. So we need to come clean, and then we need to live clean. We need to get fed up with our own life, the way we're living it, and we need to fess up to God and say, God, what are you waiting on for me to do? When you first jump into a pool of cool water, you know, you're like, whoo, right? And then in a few minutes, you're like, ah, this is nice. But when we're walking around in hidden sin, we're like, ah, this is nice. And then, ooh, when you reap what you sow, it switches on you, right? Psalms 51, 1 and 2 says, have mercy on me, O God, because of your unfailing love, because of your great compassion. Blot out the stains of my sin. Wash me clean from my guilt. Purify me from my sin. Psalms 51, 1 and 2, go home and read that and pray that today. Hallelujah. God has ability to get into the corners of our lives and the corners of our heart. He has the ability, that He has that one utensil that He can use that you know, you have that, you're trying to get stuff out of corners in your house, you just can't get to it. He has that one piece of something that He needs to get in those corners and clean that you can't do on your own. Matter of fact, Isaiah 1 and 18 says, come now, let's settle this. I love that in the King James, in the New Living Translation. Let's settle this, says the Lord. Though your sins are like scarlet, I will make them white as snow. Though they are red like crimson, I will make them white as wool. That's better than a Tide pen. That's like OxyClean right there, son. That's spiritual OxyClean. That's just like, just get it all, God. Right? There was a boy that had a dog, and his dad taught the dog to obey and all that kind of stuff. And the dad would go in there sometime and make sure the boy was still training the dog. He would take a piece of meat and sit it right in front of the dog. And you know how hard it is for a dog to resist a big old good piece of meat? And he did good. And the boy said, "Dad, I don't understand why he does this." And the dad said, "Well, son, do you understand? Do you see that every time I put that meat down, he stares right at me?" "Yeah." He says, "He ain't looking at the temptation. He's looking at the Father." Right? So we don't need to look at, when temptation comes, we need to look to the Father. Keep our eyes on Him. And allow Him to help us. Because when Jesus washed our sins away, Scripture says He threw them into a sea of forgetfulness and put a no fishing sign out there. Nobody can go get them, including the enemy. The only person that tries to come after Him is the devil and us. We out there scuba diving looking for our sins so we can bring them back to God. Say, "Hey, but. He's like, "I don't know where you got that from. I forgot all about that. It's gone." When God forgives you, He cleanses you and cleans you. And then we allow, through unforgiveness and bitterness and all this, our little sinful life, we allow little pockets of things to happen around our lives. So sometimes that's why I pray all the time. I don't pray as much as I used to, because I used to pray from fear. I used to say, "God, forgive me." I probably said, "God, forgive me," probably 40 times a day back when I was a teenager, young adult. I was just scared of going to hell. I wouldn't do nothing. I'd read my Bible, "God, forgive me," in case I skip the Scripture. There's whatever, just in case something happened. I don't know. I'm in church, "God, forgive me," because I probably miss a Sunday sometime. You know, now I still say it all the time. But why do I say it? Now, I don't say it all the time, but I say it several times a day. Why? Because I want to make sure. I say, "God, if there's anything in me, Lord, I just forgive me, God. I just want to keep a clean heart before You. I don't want stuff to build up that I'm not sure about. So forgive me for it. And then after You forgive me, then You can tell me what it is so I can stop doing that. Show it to me. Reveal it to me, Lord. I want the Lord to show me. I don't really care for that. I don't want Him to show all y'all. But I want Him to show me. You know, can we keep it here, you know? So show me, God, so I can fix it. So I can't be ridiculed for it by anybody else. So God, help us." Would you bow your head and close your eyes? Dear Heavenly Father, God, we just love You today. We're so thankful for it. Man, the presence of God that's been in this house today has just been so wonderful. Thank You, Holy Spirit. That, Lord, that first song got us going, and by that second song, Your Spirit was already flowing in this house. And what a wonderful word, God, a challenge that You have for us today that You've given me to challenge the people, God, to check our own lives and say, "God, clean the parts. I mean, God, we're going places. I'm getting stronger in You, but God, there's still need to have some final cleanup. I've learned a lot and I'm growing. I'm walking in the Spirit, but there's still some things, God, that's barriers to me getting closer to You. I want every one of them last barriers to fall and to crumble so I can just be in Your presence. I can walk in the Spirit and not in the flesh." Is there anybody here today to say, "Pastor Doug, I'm come clean, man. I'm filthy, I'm dirty, filthy rags, I'm nasty, I am unclean totally. And I need God to come in my heart and forgive me for my sins and cleanse me and make me whole. I made mistakes. I made big mistakes. I just make mistakes. And I need to turn around. I need to try this. I really need to come clean today." I told y'all a couple weeks ago, the word God gave me for the church on Easter was "It's time." And that word stayed with me. And even last night, God was saying, "It's time. It's time. It's time. It's time." So when anybody raise their hand and say, "Pastor Doug, it's time for me to come clean. It's time for me to receive Christ. It's time for me to ask God to forgive me." Either online, you can respond by message or say you need prayer. Or anybody in this room, right now, anybody want to raise your hand real quickly? I'm like, amen. Amen. I see that hand. Amen. See that hand? Anybody else? Anybody else want to raise your hand? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Well, if you would pray after me, if everybody would pray this prayer, "Father, forgive me for my sins. Cleanse me. Purify me. I'm ready to come clean. I'm tired of the dirt and the filth. I'm tired of walking around a spiritual dirty house. I need you to clean it up. Forgive me for everything. Everything, God. Everything. Make me anew. Come into my heart. You are my Lord. You are my King. I know I'm not going to be perfect, but I'm going to always ask for forgiveness because now I'm your child. I love you. You are my Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. How about that? Just that quick, that person went from being filth and dirt and death inside them to now walking, and they're pure as can possibly be right now. How many would say, Pastor Doug, I'm a Christian. I walk in the Spirit as much as I can. But will you pray with me, Pastor, that God will help me with those small things in my life, that I will come clean and I will be able to clean the inside and all the small things that hinder me from getting closer to Him, that I would be able to clean that up and He would show me and I would be on my path to a closer relationship with Jesus? Amen. Everybody's hand should go up. Everybody's hand. You know me, every time I pray, both my hands are up. God, help me. Help me as pastor to be clean, to be honorable, to be forgiven. Show me mercy, O God. Hallelujah. I'm done. I told him 25 minutes, but I think it went more than that. Oh, God, I went way more. I said 25 minutes. It's been like 40, 45. But let's, but if you need to leave, you can leave. I just want us to sing one more worship song, something. You deserve it. That's one of the songs. That is, you deserve the glory. If somebody can come up and help him there. If y'all can just sing this with us and just tell him that he deserves the glory. And as he does that, say, "Search me, O Lord," during this song. Because he is great. And he deserves all the glory and the honor and the praise. Let him clean.